The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Israel on high alert today after a top Hamas leader was assassinated in Beirut in a powerful explosion Tuesday. And that strike could lead to an all-out war along the border with Lebanon.
The most dramatic assassination in years.
The message from Israel, we will find Hamas leaders and take them out wherever they are.
Well, tonight the U.S. is weighing military options against Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen after the militants launched one of the largest missile attacks on cargo ships in the Red Sea.
Houthi attacks have so far upended international commerce, forcing shippers to reroute their vessels and increasing shipping costs.
Breaking news, three U.S. soldiers have been killed in a drone attack in the Middle East.
The first American troops killed by enemy fire since the start of the Israel-Hamas war.
A stern warning from President Biden.
We shall respond.
President Biden says he's made a decision on how to respond.
U.S. officials tell CBS News that targets in Iraq and Syria have been approved.
A U.S. strike so targeted, cars close by appear undamaged, others driving past.
Israel is vowing to step up operations against the militant group Hezbollah in Syria and Lebanon.
Footage from the Israeli military showing the fatal drone strike in the area of Bazouria in Lebanon. It said Ali Abed al-Hassan Naim was a deputy commander of Hezbollah's rocket and missiles unit.
As the fighting rages on in Gaza, Israel carrying out a major strike overnight in northern Syria. Israel struck a weapons and ammunition depot near Aleppo Airport, causing massive explosions.
There is no military way to defeat Hamas. There just isn't.
The idea that you're going to eliminate every Hamas fighter, I don't think is a realistic goal.
The Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th.
There is a fallacy that is being perpetrated here. And you should take polls, you'll have your own polls, and check whether the people of Israel support the policies that I'm being criticized for. Most Israelis overwhelmingly support the position that we have to go in.
Tonight, Iran launched a large-scale of coordinated attack on Israel. The regime in Iran fired a massive swarm over 200 killer drones, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles towards the state of Israel.
What is your message to Iran in this moment?
Don't.
But Iran isn't listening.
For the last several minutes, we've seen these flares streaking all across the skies over Jerusalem. And now, for the first time, we're hearing the air raid sirens.
The people of Israel, they're under attack right now. That's because we show great weakness. This would not happen. The weakness that we've shown is unbelievable.
Islamic Republic of Iran is very vocal about their support for these pro-Hamas groups. Right now on all Iranian media, they're broadcasting the images of what is going on American campuses. And I think that should actually send a very clear message to White House officials that this is beyond just a public safety issue. This is a national security issue that they're not even paying attention to.
This is the type of incitement that we're allowing in the United States under Joe Biden's watch. This would have never happened under President Trump.
This was the week President Biden put his foot down. After months of urging Israel to do more to protect civilians in Gaza, the president announced that he has withheld U.S. weapons that were supposed to be sent to Israel and warned that more could be stopped if Israel invades the city of Rafah.
Biden is doing with respect to Israel is disgraceful.
Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi and his foreign minister have been killed in a helicopter crash.
News of the leader's death comes as Iran plays an influential role in the current instability in the Middle East.
One person has died in Tel Aviv after being injured in an explosion near the U.S. embassy. It came from an unmanned drone, which blew up right there in the middle of the night.
Now, the Houthi rebels, they're Iran-backed. They're based in Yemen. They've claimed responsibility.
Israel carried out retaliatory action on Houthi rebels in Yemen, hitting a refinery and electricity infrastructure in the port city of Hodeidah.
This evening, the Hezbollah terrorist organization in Lebanon fired a rocket at children playing soccer in a soccer field. We will act. This attack shows the true face of Hezbollah, a terrorist organization.
Overnight, Israel launching retaliatory strikes deep within Lebanon against Hezbollah.
Pagers used by Hezbollah fighters exploded near simultaneously Tuesday. And the next day, the terror group's walkie-talkies also blew up.
We've never seen this kind of a brilliant strategic move like this in history.
The pagers beat before they went off. As a result, a lot of the injuries are to the hands and fingers of the people who reach for their pagers.
The leader of the Hezbollah terror group says this week's unprecedented attacks involving the simultaneous explosion of electronics was a, quote, declaration of war.
The IDF has been expanding attacks, pounding Hezbollah leadership and attacking its rocket launchers in Beirut and elsewhere in Lebanon.
As part of Operation Northern Arrows, in the largest attack on Hezbollah since the Second Lebanon War in 2006.
Well, I think it's pretty clear Israel's on the offensive and they are taking a very aggressive posture.
Breaking news that we have been following out of the Middle East. The Hezbollah terror group now confirming its longtime leader, Hassan Nasrallah, is dead.
It said he was killed along with another top Hezbollah commander, Ali Karaki, and other commanders.
Smoke still rises from the rubble of Hezbollah's headquarters in southern Beirut, a fitting image for what Israel has done to the militant group's top command.
Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu saying Iran, quote, made a big mistake firing a barrage of about 180 missiles at Israel.
More than during Iran's previous attack in April.
Oh, God. Okay, guys, we got to get off the roof. These are coming down right next to us here.
Everybody is talking about now what Israel will do next.
No! After years of laying dormant, the civil war in Syria is suddenly dynamic again.
This surprise onslaught has caught government forces completely off guard.
With events shifting almost by the hour.
Government defenses have crumbled at a dizzying speed.
Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has fled the capital Damascus to an unknown destination after rebel forces entered the city to limited resistance.
A seismic moment for Syria and the Middle East. Rebel forces have seized control of the capital, Damascus, ending the repressive 24-year rule of Bashar al-Assad.
The government of Syria collapsing this weekend with rebels storming the capital in Damascus Saturday night, sending President Bashar al-Assad fleeing the country and his family dictatorship that ruled Syria for more than 50 years, ending this weekend.
And in just over a week, seizing control of key cities.
Scenes like this would have been unthinkable just 1 week ago. But President Bashar al-Assad is gone.
The balance of power in the Middle East is obviously shifting, and it's shifting away from Assad's backers, Iran and Russia principally.
This is a historic day for the Middle East. The collapse of the Assad regime, the tyranny in Damascus offers great opportunity, but also is fraught with significant dangers.
The future of Syria is full of promises, but also fraught with risks. The coming weeks and months will be crucial to shape this future, and Europe will play its role.
Familiar sounds blared over Kiev's skyline early on Tuesday morning. Sirens signaling a mass Russian airstrike targeting Ukraine's biggest cities.
Dozens of people were killed and civilian areas turned to rubble.
122 Russian missiles plus dozens of drones striking cities all across Ukraine. Apartments, a shopping mall, even a maternity hospital were hit.
Russian state media is reporting a shooting, some kind of shooting, followed by an explosion occurred at Crocus City. That's a major concert and events hall.
An explosion in the top stories of the building on fire, filmed by a passerby. Concert hall area farther inside, concert goers can hear the shooting outside. Then the attackers burst into the arena itself and start executing people in cold blood, one by one.
Yeah, multiple Russian officials, Kira, are calling this a terrorist attack. Now, it looks at this stage like one of the worst terror attacks in the last few years in the entire of Russia.
Ireland's controversial criminal justice bill is currently at committee stage, but it's already causing uproar both at home and abroad. The country's Department of Justice says the bill's purpose is to protect those who are most vulnerable to hate crime.
Don't criticise the big questions in society. We know better. And if you say something that is critical or problematic, the police will come calling at your door.
You will be investigated and you will face the full force of the justice system.
We tried this sort of thing in Europe in the past. We tried having inquisitions. It didn't work out.
In France, and in what's being described as a huge political gamble, with French President Emmanuel Macron calling a snap parliamentary vote after his alliance suffered a big defeat by the populist right in European Union elections.
This is a big blow to Macron's Renaissance Party.
A big blow and a pretty big surprise, I think, to many on his own side and even within France's political press.
And it's not just in France. I mean, exit polls have also showed gains for far-right parties in Germany, Austria, and the Netherlands.
Far-right parties were expected to do well in these European elections, but their performance delivered a number of bombshells.
There are a growing number of governments that are in alliance with the far-right nationally.
Well, here in Germany, the far-right alternative for Germany is on course to become the second biggest force in this country.
Germany's AfD celebrates their showing in European Parliament elections. Support for the party is up from the last elections. Voters have sent the Chancellor a clear message.
Those key state elections later this year are going to be a pivotal moment in German history.
It was a murder committed in cold blood. A man from Afghanistan who came to Germany 10 years ago unscrupulously stabbed a policeman several times in the head with a knife.
Germany is still in shock after the knife attack in the western city of Solingen, where three people were killed. The suspected perpetrator came from Syria, eluded the German authorities, and committed murder.
German prosecutors say that a shooting near the Israeli consulate in Munich today was an attempted terrorist attack.
A violent and hate-fueled attack on Israeli soccer fans in Amsterdam. The mayor saying he was at the hands of anti-Semitic hit-and-run squads.
Multiple people injured in a suspected terrorist attack in a Christmas market in eastern Germany.
The accused driver, a 50-year-old doctor from Saudi Arabia, was arrested. Investigators say he had been living in Germany for the last 18 years.
Germany is in shock, not only because Trump will enter the White House again, but because German Chancellor Olaf Scholz fired his finance minister, effectively sinking the delicate coalition government.
Germany's coalition government collapsed dramatically last night after Chancellor Olaf Scholz fired his finance minister and leader of the pro-business party, the Free Democrats.
The German traffic coalition has officially failed.
Became especially urgent with Trump's victory.
The collapse of Germany's three-party coalition has triggered political chaos in Europe's largest economy.
Germany has really not recovered from the dual shocks that were the pandemic and the energy crisis.
The leadership vacuum could weaken German politics for months to come.
The Chancellor is seeking a vote of confidence in January that he said might lead to early elections by March at the latest. But the head of the right-wing opposition rejected this and is pushing for a much faster resolution for a crisis that has gridlocked the country.
A familiar horror, but a quite different sight on Ukraine's skyline.
Russia launched an intercontinental ballistic missile this morning, known as the ICBM. It would be the first time that weapon has been used in this war.
France's government has collapsed after a vote of no confidence in the Prime Minister, Michel Barnier. The move plunges the country into a political and financial crisis.
Breaking news out of Berlin at this hour, where German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has just lost a confidence vote, a vote, of course, that he called for. And that move now paves the way for elections in February.
Look, this country needs to adopt a new chancellor and needs to embark on trying to form a new coalition government.
Moving into 2025, it's not just Germany, perhaps, that is looking at a period of instability and concern.
The royals have been hit by an unprecedented health crisis as three members of the family announced serious medical issues within less than a week of each other.
Here in London, a message went out from Kensington Palace just before 2:30 this afternoon, informing us that the Princess of Wales had been admitted for abdominal surgery.
And just 90 minutes later, Buckingham Palace announced that the King required treatment for an enlarged prostate.
The King has been diagnosed with cancer.
He's going to step back. We're going to see more of the Prince of Wales, his son William, and of his wife Queen Camilla. They will be picking up some of his duties.
The Duchess of York then announced a few days later that she has recently been treated for an aggressive form of skin cancer.
In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London. And at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. This, of course, came as a huge shock.
This morning, Britain has a new Prime Minister.
You have given us a clear mandate. Our work is urgent, and we begin it today.
From the North West Ambulance Service, confirming that eight patients were treated for stab wounds at the scene here in Hart Street.
Three young girls dead in the seaside community of Southport. A 17-year-old born in Wales whose parents are from Rwanda has been charged with the crimes. However, the violence sparked due to the spread of misinformation about the suspect, who was falsely identified as a Muslim immigrant.
What we're witnessing here with people trying to burn down hotels with migrants / asylum seekers in them, people running around immigrant communities shouting racial slurs against Asian Brits. I mean, this is racist violence, the sort of which that people felt had been confined to the history books.
Be in no doubt, those that have participated in this violence will face the full force of the law. I guarantee you will regret taking part in this disorder, whether directly or those whipping up this action online.
Any person organising or taking part in the procession is committing an offence.
Some of the suspects and perpetrators have already been arrested, already facing charges and are in custody, but we expect more of that to continue because it's really important that communities can feel safe on the streets and there are consequences for breaking the law.
This is not protest. It is organised, violent thuggery. And it has no place on our streets or online. I won't shy away from calling it what it is. Far-right thuggery.
What the Prime Minister's challenge is would be what they would like to do, the government, my understanding is have a whole load of arrests very fast.
We will throw the full force of the law at people. And whether you're in this country committing crimes on the streets or committing crimes from further afield online, we will come after you.
Some people might be sharing simply to
to warn their friends, but it could be considered an offence because they're amplifying this.
If you do this kind of thing, you are potentially committing a criminal offence. There, he said it. They've got teams of people scouring the internet looking for this sort of thing. And if you are in the business of sharing or retweeting whatever platform it might be, potentially criminal material, well, then you could find yourself prosecuted.
So I'm actually being arrested?
You'll be arrested, okay?
Right.
And you're going to the police station.
Right.
Okay, this is in relation to some comments that you've made on a Facebook page.
Okay. Oh, really? Oh, Facebook crime, is it?
Okay.
The UK government has announced it is to return the Chagos Islands to Mauritius.
It's about security long-term in the Indian Oceans.
Why has Keir Starmer decided to hand over the Chagos Islands to Mauritius, even though they're a crucial part of our transatlantic alliance with America, and even though they've been British since 1840? The answer is that he and all his lefty lawyer friends are instinctively hostile to the legacy of the British Empire, and they want to dismantle it as fast as possible.
News, a powerful 7.5 magnitude earthquake has hit western Japan, and a tsunami warning has been issued. It struck at about 4 p.m. local time. A series of strong aftershocks have already been recorded, and tsunami waves of 1.2 meters have hit a number of areas along the western coast.
Now to the latest in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. This morning in the southeast, millions of Americans are still without power after the storm blew through the region.
Historic flooding from Helene submerged parts of western North Carolina underwater over the weekend.
Of western North Carolina in and around Asheville hit with what officials are calling biblical devastation.
We need the help. A whole town was wiped out.
If these were Democrat precincts, would Kamala handle this the same way? I'm not even sure it's fair to speculate, but Republican counties have been the hardest hit.
We do not have the funds. FEMA does not have the funds to make it through the season.
They only have a few weeks of funding left, and they need more money.
This all comes as the Biden-Harris administration spent over $1 billion from a FEMA program on services for migrants.
I saw my first FEMA truck today, and they admitted that they just got here this morning. You know, unfortunately, it's not named Ukraine, North Carolina, or they would have already had enough money.
We're not getting the amount of support that we need.
We haven't seen FEMA. We haven't seen Red Cross.
Federal relief and assistance that we have been providing has included FEMA providing $750 for folks who need immediate needs being met. If you have electricity, it can be applied for online, and I encourage people to do that.
It's been 2 weeks, and there has been an outpouring of frustration that has played out on social media. In some cases, people saying that FEMA hasn't been there.
It's unfortunate that we're still having this conversation. It's a false narrative.
Trump is literally putting lives at risk right now. If you can't trust FEMA and trust basic weather reports, for example, which he's questioned in the past.
Well, the Federal Emergency Management Agency is facing major backlash.
A FEMA official instructing hurricane relief workers there to avoid homes with Trump signs.
Milton has been an absolute wrecking ball coming ashore earlier this evening near Siesta Key, Florida. That's in Sarasota County. Now, that was just around 8:30 in the evening as a Category 3 major hurricane with 120 mile per hour winds. It's brought the complete arsenal, wind gusts past 100 miles an hour, widespread power outages, intense flooding rain north of the center, and a historic tornado outbreak in central and south Florida, 30 tornadoes at least reported.
Well, parts of central and eastern Europe have been experiencing unprecedented and deadly flooding. Scenes here from Romania. We've seen flooding in Germany, in the Czech Republic, and Poland.
In Spain, more than 155 people have died from devastating flash floods in the eastern and southern parts of the country. Torrential rains fueled what Spanish officials say was the worst natural disaster in the country's modern history. It led to rivers of mud and debris coursing through towns, washing away cars.
No one's come to help us. We have no food. We haven't seen the police. People here feel totally abandoned and they're traumatized. They don't have any money. Many of them say they don't have any clothes. They say they have nothing now to survive and their homes are destroyed. They are simply at a loss as to what to do now.
Tonight, new evidence migrants who cross the border illegally are still being released into the U.S. by border agents.
It's a new category. I don't know if you've heard this, but I came up with this one, migrant crime. There's crime, there's violent crime, there's migrant crime. We have a new category of crime. It's called migrant crime, and it's going to be worse than any other form of crime.
Ibarra, a Venezuelan national, had illegally entered the U.S. last week. Police arrested him for the murder of Lake and Riley.
He used a weapon to seriously disfigure her skull.
We need immigrants in this country. Forget the fact that the farm that our vegetables would rot in the ground if they weren't being picked by many illegal immigrants.
A new report from the FBI shows that there was a 13% decline in murder.
Despite what the data shows, which we've been talking about, the fact that crime is going down in most places is not registering with the public.
Why should we believe the FBI? The FBI's been cooking the books. Did you know about half the country doesn't send their crime statistics to the FBI? Murders are actually up.
This is America's border czar, and she's failed us. Under Harris, over 10 million illegally here. A quarter of a million Americans dead from fentanyl. Brutal migrant crimes. And ISIS now here.
There's blood on Kamala Harris's hands. She's the border czar. She doesn't care. And I mean, the height of the woman to go down to the border and start blaming Donald Trump for the crisis that she's created. If she has four more months as vice president, she could fix this tomorrow.
We have millions and millions of people here. It is not sustainable. So we're going to have the largest deportation in the history of our country. We have no choice.
Everything has to be Trump. Everything. I have a seven-step plan for Biden's reelection. And you can memorize them because I did them in alphabetical order. Attack, 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 attack.
The Biden campaign hoping the speeches and new ads draw a starker contrast with Trump. Aides telling CNN Biden may go full Hitler.
Is Biden smart to go this hard at Trump, to go, quote, full Hitler in the first week in January? It's really early to be doing this.
Some would argue it's a little late.
The issues that the court had to deal with today were momentous.
Well, Donald Trump endured the worst day of his life as a criminal defendant today.
I'm going to say the White House has been calling the shots on every one of these things. In New York with Alvin Bragg and Letitia James. In Colorado to keep Trump off the ballot. In Maine to keep Trump off the ballot. In other words, I think there is a conspiracy here where the Biden White House is calling the shots in the legal war against Donald Trump. Period. End of sentence.
Witch hunt. It's election interference at the highest level. It's a disgrace.
It's all a conspiracy to try and get Biden, who can't put two sentences together, trying to get him into office.
It's so unfair what's happening in our country. Our court system is a mess.
We turn now to Iowa, where 2 weeks from today, Iowans will gather at schools, libraries, and other locations across the state to cast the first ballots in this year's presidential election.
I think President Trump was the right president at the right time. I agree with a lot of his policies, but rightly or wrongly, chaos follows him. We can't go through another nail biter of an election. We can't.
And it's clear to me tonight that there isn't a path for me to win the nomination, which is why I'm suspending my campaign tonight for President of the United States. I know and I can see it from some of the faces here, that I'm disappointing some people by doing this.
Donald Trump should be on this stage. He owes it to you here in Iowa. I've shown up to all 99 counties because it's important.
The weather could also have an effect on the Iowa caucuses, which are just 3 days away.
Heavy snow fell as candidates tried to make their case to caucus goers. Temperatures are expected to be in the negative double digits in Iowa on Monday night.
Candidates bracing for the coldest caucus potentially on record. So whose voters are most determined to come out could make all the difference.
You know, this is a question where weather has suddenly become the entire ballgame. It should be a real advantage to Ron DeSantis. The weather drops unexpectedly. Are you going to get your people out, right? So in theory, this is all actually, I think, setting up really well right now for Ron DeSantis.
And tonight, former President Donald Trump has been declared the winner in Iowa. He has maintained a significant lead in the polls.
They said you'll never get over 50, and I just left and we're at 54. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with it, but they said you can't do that, sir.
There is a cost to us as a news organization of knowingly broadcasting untrue things. That is a fundamental truth of our business and who we are. And so his remarks tonight will not air here live.
I am today suspending my campaign. I'm proud to have delivered on 100% of my promises, and I will not stop now.
The Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney, Fannie Willis, has been accused of appointing her lover as a special prosecutor in the case against Donald Trump. DA Fannie Willis is responsible for taking Trump's mugshot, and Fannie isn't even denying that she's hired a guy she's sleeping with to prosecute Trump.
This is total corruption. That's what you got going here. Total corruption. Nathan Wade, thank you very much. The boyfriend. He met several times and got paid for the meetings with, wait for it, White House, Biden White House advisors.
And it just came out. This was just right now. Letitia James visited Joe Biden in the White House numerous times.
Not once, not twice, three times.
This is not normal. I cannot understand why she would have cause in the middle of a trial to go see the White House and the Biden administration. I can't believe what I am seeing.
Donald Trump and the staggering fine. A judge in New York fining Trump $355 million in a civil fraud case for exaggerating the value of his properties.
Donald Trump may have authored the art of the deal, but he perfected the art of the steal.
Why did you show up today?
Why did you put your dad on speakerphone if he had nothing to do with your business? You put him on speakerphone multiple times to talk to your business partners.
Republicans are in search of direct evidence so far that has eluded them that the president was involved in Hunter's foreign business dealings.
Nobody can tell us what is the high crime or misdemeanor.
I want to be very clear. That first hour of this much anticipated testimony was the nail in the coffin to what is a complete bogus and sham impeachment inquiry.
The jury has found Hunter Biden, the president's son, guilty on all three counts.
What is the big picture here? It's not a drug addict who possessed a gun for 2 weeks. It is that you have a president of the United States who is living embodiment of the rule of law.
Our nation is really seeing a massive decline in faith in institutions, including the justice system.
Let's also remember why we get to lawfare. We get to lawfare when one party loses elections. They instead try to sideline or get rid of the opposition by using other means, in particular, lawfare.
A historic conviction. A jury finds former President Donald Trump guilty on all 34 felony counts in his hush money trial.
The first former president of the United States convicted on criminal charges.
Guilty.
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 It's unanimous on all counts.
The former president, now a convicted felon.
Convicted felon.
Convicted felon.
And that's powerful.
This is lunacy. Any red-blooded American who sees this is going to understand this isn't what we do to our political enemies. God help America after what I've seen in the last few weeks.
The question going forward, and pollsters are likely going to ask this right away, is does this conviction change any of the minds of those who have said they would vote for Donald Trump?
If you just take three steps back, the fact that they're putting people in prison, men in their 70s, you and Navarro, but others, lots of others, people in prison
for defying them politically. That is not the country that we grew up in.
It's so bad. It's making our justice system look so bad. But we raised more money than, I mean, I think we did $58 million almost immediately after the verdict came out.
Trump has raised a staggering $52.8 million.
It has been a big backfire, like the exploding cigar, like Wile E. Coyote chasing Roadrunner. Donald Trump, I think, is in the strongest position he's ever been in because people in this country aren't as stupid as the Democrats must think they are.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. And since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't say it. I think he's better than he's ever been.
President Biden has a photographic memory. His understanding and mastery of a complicated geopolitical situation is remarkable.
He is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
Any concerns from anyone who has met with President Biden about him seeming a little slower?
No.
This is the entire election as far as I'm concerned. If Biden goes out there and messes up, it's game over.
Here's the deal. There's a lot of young women are being raped by their in-laws, by their spouses, brothers and sisters, it's just ridiculous. And in addition to that, we find that the impact of on the choice able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare, what I've done since I've changed the law, what's happened? I've changed it in a way that now you're in a situation where there are 40% fewer people coming across the border illegally. That's better than when he left office. And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do?
Right now, as we speak, there is a deep, a wide, and a very aggressive panic in the Democratic Party.
That was painful. He didn't do well at all.
So there has to be a conversation with the president after tonight, right? Some of those conversations will be from people who say, sir, you should step aside.
I have never seen numbers this bad for an incumbent president during my lifetime.
I would argue that President Obama is among the leaders saying, get him out. I think him putting his hand on his back the other day, walking him off stage, spoke volumes. That's my opinion. I think President Obama is trying to get him to understand he cannot win this.
Is lawfare, even the conviction of Trump, working now against Biden?
I sure think so.
Today, the Supreme Court's conservative majority upended the way our federal government functions by overturning the 40-year-old landmark decision, Chevron v. NRDC.
Well, this case is a huge victory for the American people and constitutional government and the rule of law. It's a huge blow to the administrative state in Washington, D.C.
For Trump, what a day. I mean, his nominees put the court over the top.
The court also raised the bar for obstruction charges for hundreds of January 6th rioters.
The ruling means prosecutors may have overreached when they charged several hundred January 6th defendants, including former President Donald Trump.
Now, the justices will return to the bench on Monday to hand down the last decisions of the term.
The big question
of tomorrow morning. What will the court rule? I see zero chance they're going to embrace Donald Trump's argument that he has absolute immunity and can't be prosecuted.
Breaking news from the Supreme Court, where the justices have just ruled on whether former President Donald Trump has absolute or qualified immunity.
This is a 6-3 ruling written by the Chief Justice that says flatly presidents are immune, absolutely immune for their official acts.
Whoa, this is, are they going to do this?
I really did not expect that they would do this.
Here we are now where he's characterizing this as a win.
Big win for our Constitution and democracy. Proud to be an American.
There is a lot of optimism that he can now proceed without having the Supreme Court and these federal trials over his shoulder.
This case will not go before the election. It will not be tried before the election. 0% chance that happens before November.
The court's three liberals seem stunned and outraged.
I worry that voters will not fully comprehend what the Supreme Court just handed Donald Trump.
Did the court just say, yeah, you can assassinate a political rival?
He cannot be the next president.
You can't imagine the things that he's going to do.
He will make himself into the Fuhrer, and he will make everybody raise their hand and salute him.
We're going to see violence the likes of which we didn't even see on January 6th.
Every one of us, our freedom, our liberty, none of us is safe.
He's going to have people around him executing against an enemy's list.
Assassinate generals,
ordering troops to attack American citizens.
Trump's very well-armed and extremist base will try to kill people.
He will unravel the institutions of our democracy.
I think that could be the end of our democracy.
But democracy is dead if Trump is reelected.
Democracy will be at risk.
A vote for Donald Trump may mean the last election that you ever get to vote in.
He has to be eliminated.
Take a look at what happened.
A miracle that Donald Trump is alive.
I think it was a miracle that Donald Trump was not struck.
Donald Trump is survived by a miracle.
Nothing short of a miracle.
It seems like everything has aligned in the period of like 3 days to make it very obvious Donald Trump's going to be the next president. There's no doubt about it at this point.
Not only did he survive an assassination attempt, he stood up. Without knowing whether there were other shooters there, he stood up and faced the crowd and raised his hand and said, fight, fight, fight. That's it. You do that, you win.
I'm not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here. I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God.
What's happened over the past month? Since the debate? And particularly on Saturday in Butler? I think a lot of people are wondering, what is this? This doesn't look like politics. Something bigger is going on here. I think even people who don't believe in God are beginning to think, well, maybe there's something to this. Actually. And I'm starting to think it's going to be okay.
So Mark Zuckerberg called me. First of all, he called me a few times. He called me after the event and he said, that was really amazing. It was very brave. And you know, and he actually announced he's not going to support a Democrat because he can't, because he respected me for what I did that day.
You know, I've done some stuff personally in the past. I'm not planning on doing that this time. And that includes, you know, not endorsing either of the candidates. You know, I mean, seeing Donald Trump get up after getting shot in the face and pump his fist in the air with the American flag is one of the most bad things I've ever seen in my life.
So Elon called me. As you know, he endorsed me full-throated. Great endorsement. I respect Elon a lot. He respects me.
I mean, the assassination attempt, you know, your actions
after that assassination attempt were inspiring. Instead of shying away from things, instead of ducking down, you were pumping your fist in the air and saying, fight, fight, fight. And I think that's the president of the United States represents America.
This kind of moment has the ability, if he can seize it, to reach out to those voters who may otherwise not have been inclined to him before.
How many of you know a black man who has expressed to you that they're committed to voting for Donald Trump?
Trump is leading here, and Trump is leading here. Trump is leading here.
Look, I mean, if the Lord Almighty came down and said, Joe, get out of the race, I'll get out of the race. The Lord Almighty's not coming down.
Fox News alert, President Joe Biden's announcing he's dropping out of the race. God must have spoken because he said the only thing that was going to make him bow out was the great Almighty.
We are here today to throw our support behind Vice President Kamala Harris. I'm clapping. You don't have to. It's a happy day. What can I say?
I know Kamala like few do. So let me just say this clear. It's about to get real.
She's mainstream America. She's the hope. She's the opportunity. She's the American dream. I just think we are in a very good position.
It's remarkable. We're in uncharted waters because I've never seen anything like this. And it happened so quickly.
This could be bigger than 08.
And I think that the vice president's launch has been spectacular.
Her favorability rating among all Americans up 8 points in just 1 week.
And is probably, and is the most qualified individual to run for president. In fact, more qualified than the last four presidents.
So yeah, Kamala Harris in so many ways might just be the right candidate at the right time. The right candidate for this century, by the way.
Oh, tonight's rally is the top of the heap.
I think Trump world's jealous of the joy right now.
There is joy and there's not a lot of thinking. It's a good time.
Let us write the next great chapter in the most extraordinary story ever told. Thank you.
You're going to remember where you were on this night. This is an inflection point in history.
A startling development in the 2024 presidential race, the son of Democratic icon Robert Kennedy suspending his independent campaign and endorsing Republican nominee Donald Trump.
So, Bobby, please say a few words. Thank you.
Don't you want a president that's going to make America healthy again?
And as we've seen throughout this election year, former enemies quickly change their allegiances when they drop out.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Tulsi, please.
Meanwhile, we haven't seen Kamala since Thursday night. She's now pulling a Biden and going AWOL for debate prep. 4 days straight of debate prep. The last time a Democrat overprepared for a debate, they got knocked out with one punch.
Vice President Kamala Harris and President Donald Trump.
Kamala Harris. What's up? Good to be.
Nice to see you. Have fun.
Thank you.
Welcome to you both. It's wonderful to have you. It's an honor to have you both here tonight.
She's saying she can fix the problems that her administration has caused, but I just don't know if I can afford to take that risk.
She is the worst polling Democrat against Donald Trump in history on national polls. No one is performing worse than her. She is not doing well.
People don't really know what her policies are all about.
The left continues to be fooled into thinking attacking Trump means they're winning. He's been impeached, raided, arrested, shot, insulted for 90 minutes. So why isn't Kamala Harris winning?
An investigation underway after the second assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. He was golfing at the Trump International Golf Course in West Palm Beach yesterday when a gunman was spotted. Trump was not harmed and was quickly removed from the golf course.
The suspect, take a look, Ryan Routh, is being charged with 2 counts of being a felon in possession of a firearm.
How many more assassination attempts on Donald Trump until the president and the vice president and you pick a different word to describe Trump other than threat?
Donald Trump, if he loses, faces life behind bars. If he wins, faces more killers gunning for his life. The only choice he can make now is to fight, fight, fight.
Thank you very much, really. And thank you, a very big thank you to Pennsylvania. We love Pennsylvania. And as I was saying,
ooh,
I love that chart. Come on up here, Elon.
Come here.
Take over, Elon. Yes, take over.
I think this election, I think it's the most important election of our lifetime. President Trump must win to preserve the Constitution. He must win to preserve democracy in America.
What's the first word that pops into your head when you hear the name Kamala Harris?
Liar.
Why should we trust you? So I'll say this, look, you can look at my career to know what I care about.
It is time to turn the page.
Former President Donald Trump put on an apron today to pull off a political stunt.
Mr. President, you actually have worked at McDonald's now versus...
Now I have worked at McDonald's. I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala.
Why would she lie about that?
Why? Because she's lying, Kamala, that's what.
So we've got 2 weeks to go, and I'm very much grounded in the present in terms of the task at hand, and we will deal with election night and the days after as they come, and we have the resources and the expertise and the focus on that as well.
She was introduced by former President Barack Obama, marking the first time they have campaigned together.
Having them side by side like this is certainly a Kodak moment for a lot of people right now.
Kamala wasn't born into privilege. She was raised in a middle-class family. She worked at McDonald's when she was in college to pay her expenses. She didn't pretend to work at McDonald's when it was closed for a photo op.
Donald Trump is set to record an interview with podcasting giant Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan confirmed that Donald Trump will be joining him in his Austin studio, posting it on social media.
The reach that Rogan has is incredible.
This will be the biggest podcast of the last 100 years, the biggest podcast of all time.
All right, we're rolling.
Good to see you, sir.
Here we go.
We begin tonight with the race for the White House, just 9 days until Election Day. Former President Trump drawing a massive crowd for a rally at New York's Madison Square Garden.
Donald Trump's going to win. He's going to win.
The future is going to be amazing.
How close is this thing going to be?
This election should not be close. It should be clear.
I got to ask myself, well, why on earth is this race even close? What in the world is going on?
President Biden makes comments about Trump supporters, calling them, quote, garbage.
Joe Biden's garbage gaffe.
A political headache for Vice President Kamala Harris.
It has completely changed the narrative from where it was 24 hours ago.
How do you like my garbage truck? This truck is in honor of Kamala and Joe Biden.
Trump's peeking out of a window of a garbage truck just a week after he peeked out of a McDonald's drive-thru window. You're looking at a political athlete. This is less than 24 hours. Now, Kamala spent millions of dollars producing that speech last night at the Ellipse, and no one remembers it. No one's talking about it.
The reality is, of course, Biden's team trying very hard to clean this up. I think they recognize the damage that has been done.
Biden, who doesn't even know what Zoom is, just derailed Kamala's campaign.
He has undercut her over and over.
Former President Trump picking up a last-minute endorsement from Joe Rogan.
Well, I'll say it again, man. I think this was the last election. If Trump doesn't win, this is the last election.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Listen to this. So Jen O'Malley Dillon, I quoted from it earlier, but at the end of this email, she says, get some sleep and get ready to close out strong tomorrow. So essentially you're saying, you know what, let's pack up and get some sleep and we'll see
you in the morning. You know what that reminds me of?
It's 4 years ago, Martha.
2016.
With what we're hearing here at the White House, and that is nothing. And we have been noticing that a lot of lights that were on within the White House, at least from the part that we can see, have been turning off.
Within the crowd right now, it's pretty silent. A lot of glum looks on the faces here of the crowd as that of a funeral right now. So you won't hear from the vice president tonight? But you will hear from her tomorrow. You can probably see behind me the rush to the exits. I mean, as soon as he said that, people turned on their heels and they were out of here. The evening was getting increasingly somber as people realized what this map is looking like.
We are now projecting that Donald J. Trump will win the state of Pennsylvania. Former President Donald J. Trump will win the state of Pennsylvania, and thereby he is on his way to becoming the 47th president of the United States. With this, the path for Vice President Harris has narrowed, and there's really no path going forward. It's vanished. This is historic. The Fox News Decision Desk can now officially project that Donald Trump will become the 47th president of the United States.
The former president's comeback will be complete with a win in Wisconsin, a state that he narrowly lost 4 years ago. He is now the second president in U.S. history to win nine consecutive terms.
Donald Trump returns to the White House, the president-elect pulling off potentially the biggest political comeback in American history.
Unlike any in modern American politics.
For an historic political realignment.
Unlike anything we have ever seen.
Trump sweeping all seven battleground states, lifting his total number of electoral college votes to 312.
He also made significant gains in some of the most democratic places in the country.
I think it is really more akin to a political resurrection.
It is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy?
The influences of a Schumer or a Pelosi or a movie star or an Obama deciding to anoint somebody, those guys are gone.
Former President Donald Trump fought off a host of allegations and slurs, a criminal conviction on dozens of felony counts, and two impeachments, two assassination attempts as well, to reclaim the White House.
This will truly be the golden age of America. That's what we have to have. This is a magnificent victory for the American people that will allow us to make America great again.
Trump's been president-elect for 3 days, and the country already looks different. New York City's saying no mas to free food for illegals. The caravans in Mexico are breaking up. Toyota is saying they're going to invest more in gas-powered cars. Europe wants to buy energy from the United States instead of Russia. Qatar is kicking Hamas out. The Dow hitting an all-time high. Jack Smith dropping his case. And Soros-funded DAs are packing their bags. Iran has done a 180. The mullahs are saying, President Trump, sorry we tried to kill you. Let's make peace. Reports say CNN's going to be axing top stars and making others take pay cuts. Chris Wallace just resigned from CNN out of the blue. Comcast has been thinking of spinning off and selling MSNBC. Every Democrat's trying to wipe away any fingerprints they've left on this campaign. The Obamas are coming out and saying it wasn't our idea to put Kamala in. We wanted a primary. RFK Jr.'s got a mandate to make America healthy again. Rockets are heading to Mars. Government agencies are about to get gutted, and the deep state's lost its juice. America's healing.
The campaign of Harris-Walz raised over $1 billion, but somehow, despite, I believe, having $160 million still in the bank on October 20th, ends the campaign $20 million in debt.
President Biden has made a decision to pardon his son Hunter ahead of the transfer of power to President-elect Donald Trump.
He's received a sweeping pardon. Any uncharged crimes between 2014 and 2024.
Joe Biden is leaving office making the strongest possible case for Donald Trump that anybody could possibly make it, and that's that our government and our justice system is of, by, and for the elites and nobody else.
President Trump, this year, Times editors recognized you again as the 2024 Person of the Year for remaking American politics, and in doing so, reordering the world as we know it.
You can see, as we've said, why a lot of people in America
will take this dramatic, earth-shaking change. It'll make them complacent. It'll make them think that all the problems are ended, that we have nothing to worry about on this road ahead. Satan's just going to transfer his attention and focus over to Europe and see how he can bring down the nations of Israel through a strong man there. Satan is hard at work to carry out his plan of destruction and desolation. Oh, yes. So we don't want to look at the Trump resurgence as the sign that, well, God is very well pleased with us now. He's pleased with America. No, God, in fact, is trying to get us to look at ourselves, to look at our sins. And that's what these earth-shaking, fulfilled prophecies should be doing, motivating us to look at ourselves, to look within, to look at our hearts, to look at our attitudes, to consider our ways, and to turn to God.